I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Heard a pickup door slam and then I heard another one. You know, so I know there's at least two people. I can't see it. It was Bobby and his crew, and they walked in there, you know, and he said, I'd like to challenge you to cook a chicken fried steak. I hear you make one of the best ones. I said, you want to cook a chicken fried steak today with me in my kitchen? And he said, yeah. I said, welcome to the land of hot and heavy.
Who are the Misfits? Carrie Byron. Tori Belleci. Together, more than 20 years having fun together.
Welcome back. It's Monday again. Hello, Mythfits. So glad you could join us again. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
Howdy. I was hoping you were going to show up with a cowboy hat because...
I got my Western shirt on.
I mean, we're talking to the official Chuck Wagon cook, Kent Rollins, today, you guys. It's going to be a little bit Western themed. Obviously, if you're watching this instead of listening, you can see that Tori's wearing an adorable little Western shirt.
I was going to wear a hat, but I thought it might be too much.
I feel like it would block all of my good lighting that I use so that I can pretend I'm younger than I am.
You know what? Like, knowing that we were going to have this guy on, like this guy, I've been a huge fan of his. Remember, it was during the lockdown, during COVID, and my dad and I, you know, we would just scroll through YouTube looking for recipes to make for that night, right? And we came across Kent Rollins, and he was deep frying a prime rib, and he stuck a pitchfork into
this. Wait, that's a
thing?
This... You deep fried prime rib?
Like, it was like the most myth-bustery thing I had seen on YouTube, you know, in the cooking world. So he had this giant rib... prime rib, he shoved a pitchfork into it and they dropped it into this kettle of boiling oil and they deep fried a prime rib. And it was like, my dad and I were just like, who is this guy? We love him.
Did you guys try it?
We actually did deep fried tomahawks. We haven't tried the ribeye yet because it just seems massive. You got to have a huge pot.
Wait, don't you have, I remember you doing a turkey fry. Don't you have like a good deep oil pot?
Yeah, but it's got to be wide and deep.
Okay.
So maybe this Thanksgiving we're going to try that.
So you need like a super giant cast iron, like something that,
yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be huge. Well, it was just so genius using a pitchfork. I mean, obviously it was a brand new clean pitchfork, but it was just like my dad and I were looking at each other. We're like, this guy's a genius. And it came out perfect. Like the crust on the outside, it was crispy, and then they cut into it. And it was like perfectly medium rare inside, and I was like, "Oh, this guy's good."
It's a, there's definitely a romance to that outdoor Chuck Wagon style cooking, like the camping cooking, especially I think during lockdown and in this age of just disconnection and tech everything. There's just something really, just wonderfully visceral about being able to rough it and cook over an open fire.
In the outdoors.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, not a big camper, love the outdoors, love nature, love hiking, love rock climbing, love everything about it until it comes to sleeping in the tent. I'm just like
in your hotel room.
Well, yeah, there's two reasons. One, I can't sleep if I feel vulnerable. And two, I can't sleep if I'm the protector. So as a mom, every single little noise, I don't care if it's the garbage truck, I'm awake and I'm alert. Like my daughter will never be able to sneak out of the house because I have just like superhero hearing when it comes to being asleep. It'll be like, nope,
your spidey senses start tingling
for everything. Cause I am the protector. And I also just like that feeling of vulnerability. Like I don't want an animal to come eat me while I'm asleep. Like I just, or a murderer or an assaulter to come up. I mean, a tent, you can't lock a tent. That's insane. So yeah, I love the outdoor cooking. I used to go camping with my dad and he'd have, you know, like you'd open the can of beans and you'd cook it in the can. And that was so exciting. Like all the different fancy recipes he could pull off. Like, I mean, he would.
And the smell of bacon out when you're camping and coffee.
Like that thick camping coffee that was practically sludge. I love that.
You just put that pot right on the coals. Now, you know, since we're talking about Western topic for this episode, I started going back and watching all the episodes that we tested for Mythbusters, the myths, the Western myths.
I went the opposite direction. I went and I watched old Western movies.
Oh, that's cool. But yeah, I was like thinking about how ridiculous the things like our job was, but how much fun it was. Like there was, we were testing one. It was an old, urban legend that this guy could, I forget who it was, but he would put a coin on his hand and he would drop his hand and he would get six shots off before the coin hit the ground. And so we were testing this in the driveway of the shop. And this is when our neighbor yelled at us. But as I was going through, you know, YouTube and looking for that episode, I found the clip of when we caught the guy on camera yelling at us from his window from the shop next door.
Look at Tori with his early 2000s hair, his aviator glasses.
All right, so you hear how loud
peacemaker.
You hear how loud that that blank is.
Is dropping by the second, and our neighbors are plumb mad.
Yeah, we already talked to the police. I thought we told everybody in the neighborhood. Once again, making friends with our neighbors.
Yeah, because he's cursing at us. So we're shooting off these blanks, and they're in the shop and they're yelling out the window that they're like, do the police know you guys are doing this?
You guys got a permit? Super effing loud, man. So we've got Tori out there with a giant peacemaker in his hand. In case you are listening instead of watching, we have our high-speed measuring scale, and Tori's popping off gunshots. And the guy yells out the window, you guys got a permit for shooting those guns? You got to warn us. It's super effing loud, man.
I thought that moment happened off camera. And they eventually called the cops on us, and then the cops rolled down, and they're like, we were told somebody's shooting a gun. And we're like, we have a permit. These are blanks. It's a real gun, but we're not shooting bullets. And then the other one we tested was, can you shoot a person in a noose? So do you remember in The Good, Bad, and the Ugly?
Yes, that is actually the movie that I just watched, because that's one of my dad's favorites. So like that's the first one that came to mind.
Right? It's one of my favorite movie of the whole Spaghetti Western series, but that one, just like, I love that movie so much. And so we took the myth where Clint Eastwood had Tuco, who, you know, they were in on it together. He would get arrested, they would get the bounty for him, and then he would go to get hung, and then Clint Eastwood would shoot him off the noose, right? That was, and then they would get away, and so that's how they were making money. And we tested that in the bunker, pointing the gun down into the bunker at the neighbor. So, and that, you know, these were real bullets. We had a layer of cinder block and metal and wood, but that was it. And so I was looking, as you could see it in the background of the episode, we had a hanging like ballistic dummy neck and shoulders hanging from the top of the bunker, and we're firing real rounds into the rope to see if we could break it. I was like, the crazy shit we used to do on Mythbusters.
I mean, I feel like we couldn't even make this show now. It was just, we were the freaking Wild West, the stuff that we got away with. And like, thinking about the shop that was behind us, I don't know what they were. That was the guys that were growing weed, right? Like,
yeah, because they had the blackout window with the tinfoil.
You would have thunk that like we'd have an understanding. You don't call the cops on us. We don't call the cops on you. Because back then, weed was not legal to be growing in a warehouse. But it was a slightly shady part of town back then. It was a little cuddy.
That is true. If people were hearing gunshots, they were probably usually real gunshots, not people shooting a TV show.
Like, that is not a backfiring car. That is not.
That's a good point.
I mean, we did so many fun Western myths. I actually would love to show him some of them, because I know that Ken Rawls is kind of into these like Western mythology and the whole culture. Yeah. I want to show him you getting dragged by a horse. Like, there was.
Oh, yeah.
There was. I mean, it was all just so much fun. I mean, I have so many questions I want to ask him. He is more than just a cowboy cook. I mean, he is an expert in Western mythology. He knows something about cast iron pan. I loves me a cast iron pan. How cute is this?
Totally.
One?
No, and he, like, the stuff he cooks is just, it's like so outside of the box. And then there was the one myth that if you had a silver dollar in your pocket and you got shot and the bullet hit the silver dollar, that would stop the bullet. Well, guess what I found?
Shut up. You still have it?
Yes. And it worked. Look at that. You see how dented it is? It stopped. It stopped around, and we were like, confirmed, silver dollar. Save
that
your
was
life.
A fun day, because like a lot of those were actually confirmed. Like, we learned a lot. Like, it was actually a day that I got a bunch of unexpected results. I love that one. Totally wrong. It's much more exciting.
So much fun. So anyway, you guys, you're going to love Cowboy Kent Rawlins. He's got a huge YouTube channel. The guy is just, I don't know, he's just so interesting. Such great stories. We're so excited to have him on the show, so stick around.
Cookbook author, official Chuck Wagon cook of Oklahoma, the man who has cooked for real working cowboys over an open fire for more than 34 years. I am very excited for this one. All right, I think everybody's got a side hustle these days, but it's scary when you're starting a new business. Like, how are you going to go about selling things to people? How are you going to go about making actual money, connecting with customers? That's where Shopify comes in. Shopify makes setting up your business so much easier. There's just an ease of setup, the tools, the purple shop pay button that makes checkout just one tap experience for your customers. Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide. And 10% of all U.S. e-commerce, from household names to brands just getting started. Get started with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify always is around to share advice with the award-winning 24/7 customer support. It's time to turn those what-ifs into cha-ching. With Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/mythfits. That's shopify.com/mythfits.
I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Kent, I am a huge, huge fan. My dad and I, during the pandemic, we were stuck at home, and every night we were like, what are we going to cook for dinner? And so we would scroll through YouTube and just like check out the different cooking channels. And we came across your deep fried prime rib with the pitchfork in the kettle of oil. And we were just like, who is this guy? It was so mythbustery, and the way it came out looked so delicious. My dad and I fell in love with you, and we've been watching you ever since.
I'll let you know for sure. Beef was cheaper then than it is now. You know what I mean?
A sad truth.
Yeah, that prime rib might be down to just one slice now. You know?
So for the few people who are just getting to know you, you are an author. You've written cookbooks. You have a huge YouTube following. But at your core, you are considered a chuck wagon cook. That is who you are. So could you bring us to, it's got such a rich and storied past. Where did the chuck wagon cook originate, and how do you utilize that theme and niche now?
Well, you know, it started long before our time. It was back in the 1870s, probably. After the Civil War, there was a great expansion of people that wanted to move west, and people were hungry, and they wanted to eat beef. And there was a lot of that running around wild in South Texas. And so they hit the Chisholm Trail, which starts south of San Antonio and goes up to Abilene, Kansas, put it on a railhead, and you could ship it anywhere in the world. And old Cook has the same job that I do now. He just didn't have near as much to work with. We called him the first Meals on Wheels ever invented. And he fed cowboys two meals a day. And when we're on working ranches, we feed them three meals a day. We still cook with the same things he cooked with, which is cast iron skillets and Dutch ovens and fire. But things have changed. There's not the railroad anymore. You don't have to drive cattle, 500-600 miles to get them somewhere. It's all in big ranches, pastures, and then they load them on a truck, take them somewhere. But it's not a dying breed. I've had that asked a lot. You know, there ain't many of y'all left out there. And I say, well, there is. You just can't see us from the interstate, And we've been fortunate enough, and I've been so blessed to have cooked with a chuck wagon for 38 years to experience some of the greatest people in the world and some of God's most beautiful country.
Now, how did you fall into this? Like, was this a passion of yours to cook growing up? And then you were like, oh, I want to do this for cowboys. I mean, how did that kind of play out?
Well, my mother taught me to cook. We didn't have a whole lot, but we never went hungry. And sometimes when I was especially 10 or 11 years old, it was warmer in the kitchen than it was horseback in a saddle. And I would think, this kitchen ain't bad. And then she told me I had to wash dishes, and the saddle looked a whole lot better than it did before. But I always helped my mother in the kitchen off and on through years. I watched a lot of old women after church tie an apron on and never use a recipe and just cook. And it was some of the best food I'd ever eaten in my life. And stayed close to that kitchen for a long time. Then went to rodeo and rode bulls, made a good living at it. In 1980s, I went to guide and elk hunters in the Gila Wilderness, which is about 800,000 acres, and they needed a cook and a guide. So I had never cooked in elevation, and there's a lot of difference between coming from 1,800 foot to 8,700 foot. And nobody had ever taught me to.
What were some of the challenges?
Oh, I hate cooking at elevation. Everything's different.
Yeah. The biggest thing was I had cooked in a kitchen, and I'd cook some outside on a grill, but I'd never baked anything in a cast iron Dutch oven in my life. And my uncle throwed him out there on the ground, and he said, your mama's a cook, and I know you can cook, so you're the cook and the guide both. And I remember the first morning getting up at 2, and I'm making bread and putting it in them Dutch ovens to let it rise. And I waited and I waited and I waited. And I'm thinking, well, they'll rise when they cook a little. And I remember they was maybe an inch tall at the most, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of them hunters said, is this flatbread? I said, it is this morning. We'll see what it is tomorrow, you know. But atmosphere, humidity, they play a great factor, especially in outdoor cooking. And it learned me to persevere. And everything I learned and how I learned to cook in cast iron was always just trial and error, you know. And it's been a blessing. We packed it in on mules some 21 miles up in the wilderness. And it's the same thing as what I do today, but I just have a wagon now to put it all in.
When you're doing bread, is it old-timey sourdough, or are you using yeast?
It depends on the weather. You know, sourdough works best in temperatures above 70 degrees. And them old cooks used to tell me many years ago, you know, it was cold in the Texas panhandle, and I slept with my starter right there next to me, kept it warm. And I'm thinking, I'll just make buttermilk biscuits. I don't want to sleep with it, you know. And, but our sourdough was not traditional. You know, it wasn't something that had been going on for years and years and years, and sort of like a bottle calf you had to take care of. You had to feed it every day, stir it, sing it a song, walk it around, you know. And mm-hmm. ours is just starts out with 4 cups of water and 4 tablespoons of sugar, a package of yeast, because sugar and yeast always help each other activate. You add flour, and then you peel a russet potato, cut it in half, and drop it in there. People would ask, well, what good is the potato doing? Well, the starch and the sugar and the enzymes break down. I know people have heard of making vodka. You know, it comes from potato base. But that potato will start the souring agent. And I can use this.
Really?
Yes. I can use this 5 days. I can use it 3 days. I could use it 2 weeks. But I can pour it out, start another batch, and it's good in 24 hours. So it was
this
a whole lot.
This is fascinating to me. I am a sourdough baker, and I've had a starter forever. And yes, I have to feed it, and yes, I would sleep with it if it were too cold. Abso-freaking-lutely. I've never heard this potato trick before.
Yeah, my grandmother and my mother, they used to use just potato water instead of adding, you know, water to it. They'd just boil a potato and use that starchy water for it. But the potato will eventually break down. If you leave it long enough, I don't like to let mine go that long. You know, you take so much out of it, you recharge it with sugar and water and yeast again and a little flour, and it's good to go. But it's so much easier. I don't know. We've converted a lot of people over to trying that method. But, you know, I made biscuits that were just 2-ingredient biscuits, and that was just self-rising flour and whipped cream, and they're so easy. But it all depends on climate. And what the altitude is.
Watching your channel, like you do a lot of cooking in Dutch ovens and skillets and cast iron pans. I grew up in a restaurant. My dad used to, you know, say, don't ever wash.
Yeah.
Don't ever use a skillet and wash it with soap because that'll ruin the seasoning. Is that a myth or is that true?
Well, a lot of things have changed since cast iron first come out, and it is truly the best thing to cook with. First of all, I'd like to say nobody's going to fight in a wheel for Teflon or stainless steel, but they will fight for cast iron, you know. But back then, the regards to not ever putting soap in it, soap had a lot of lye content in it, you know, and it was really hard on seasoning. Do I put soap in mine? No. I was taught the old school way. You know, when I get through cooking it, if there's any grease in there, I wipe it out. I instantly clean it right then, just boiling hot water and a sponge, and you're through. Then all you got to do is dry it out, season it again, and you're good to go.
Let's talk steak for a second, because like I love cooking steak, but there's so many myths around it. Like searing steak keeps the juices in. Do you believe in that?
Well, it depends on what mood I'm in at that time, what I want to eat, you know, whether it's on the grill or in the skillet. And I love to take not a prime cut, but down below and make it taste like prime. And that all starts with how you take care of it before it ever hits that skillet. And that's just a little bit of lime juice because it breaks down connective tissue in meat, which is going to make it more tender, and you never taste the lime. And you season it about 4 hours ahead of time, You bring it out of the ice box and let it come to room temperature before you cook. And usually if I'm going to sear, like, I think the last one I seared was like a 38-ounce porterhouse, and which is a big, thick cut. And but it's one of them deals to where I'll preheat the oven to 425.
Okay.
I'll preheat that skillet on a burner as hot as I can get it for it right before it goes to smoke the oil, turn it down just a little. And the oil is usually olive oil and butter, because when you combine both, neither one of them want to burn near as quick. And but you don't need much, because you want that good sear right on the bottom. And if people are using a lot of coarse ground black pepper or something that really makes that steak feel like a bumpy gravel road, you're not going to get that sear, because not all that meat is touching that skillet. And searing will lock in some flavor. It will, I think, in a way, make meat a little more tender, because there's no place for it to go. And when you season ahead of time that much, it's like reverse osmosis. The salt that's in the seasoning is bringing all the water and stuff to the top, but then the rest is absorbed back through it. It's just like dry brining any kind of piece of meat. Stick it in there on that skillet. Let it get good and hot. I'd say 3 to 4 minutes. A little garlic, a little thyme, a little more butter. Splash it back up on there. Flip it on the other side. When it gets to about, I'd say, 100 degrees, I slap it in the oven. Let it go for maybe another 10 minutes. Pull it out. Let it rest. It's 125, which is pretty close to rare, to medium rare, because he done died once and we don't need to kill him again.
I don't know. For people who are just listening and not watching this, Tori's making this face.
My mouth is watering right now.
Yeah, I can see you like eating the steak in your brain.
Oh,
your face started to change.
Well, I was just visualizing, and it's like my wife calls it well done. She doesn't like it medium rare. She wants it gray. And she's all, that's why they call it well done, because it's done well. And I'm like, no, you're killing it twice.
Yeah, that is right. I catered for years and years in between cooking for ranches, and I was doing a deal one time for about 200 steaks, and I told them, I said, they're all cooked medium rare, and then I hold them. You know, they might be to medium when you get to eat them, but they're all medium rare coming off. And this lady said, well, I'll just get at the back of the line, and I'll wait, because maybe mine will be well done time I get there. And I said, ain't going to happen, ma'am. I said, I just can't do that. She said, well, I can't eat anything but a well done piece of meat. I said, well, I want to give you a little science here, ma'am, behind it. First of all, when you cook that meat that long, you have took all the flavor, all the juice out of it. And now you've added 10 times the carcinogens to it by getting it black as shoe leather to where it curls up on both ends. And I said, but I'll let you throw it on there and cook it if you want to. And she did, till it looked like a piece of shoe leather.
Summer's here. That means it is tank top and sundress season, but I'm not going to wear last year's gear. I want a whole new wardrobe. I need to update because I want to do this year's style. And that's where Quince is going to come in for me. I bought a Quince washable silk tank top, and then I loved it so much that I bought it in another color because I needed two. Quince has European linen pants and shirts, the perfect warm weather upgrade, starting at just $34. Quince offers soft tees and lightweight cotton sweaters, perfect for cooler summer nights. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. You're paying for quality, not markup. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/mythfits for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/mythfits for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids. and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You've gone up against some pretty fancy chefs. I mean, I know that Bobby Flay tried to come in and challenge you at some of the things that you are known for. I mean, what was that like?
It was one of them deals to where the Food Network called and they said, hey, you know, we're doing this special called Chuck Wagon Cuisine. We'd like for you to be on it. And I was on a ranch in North Texas at the time. They came down there and we filmed 2 days, some of it horseback, gathering cattle, some of it at the wagon, they brought in more people, more light people, more sound people. And I thought, well, something different, you know, and they had this guy at the gate the next morning that was keeping people from coming in while we was filming. And we started off the next morning and I hear this old pickup coming up the road and I'm thinking, well, that guy must've got drunk and passed out because he's letting too many people in now. And I heard a pickup door slam and then I heard another one, you know, so I know there's at least two people. I can't see it. And really there was four. It was Bobby and his crew and they walked in there, you know, and I'd never met the man before. Sort of knew who he was, but that was about it. Never seen the show. And he walked in there and he said, I'd like to challenge you to cook a chicken fried steak. I hear you make one of the best ones. And I said, you want to cook a chicken fried steak today with me in my kitchen? And he said, yeah. I said, welcome to the land of hot and heavy. Because it was 98 degrees that day before we ever built a fire. And when I figured out it was Bobby, I loaded that old wood stove of mine plumb full of firewood.
You're like, this is home turf. This is home turf here.
And I told Shannon, I said, we'll see how tough he is. Yeah. You know, but he was a good sport about it all. He got really hot, you know, and he told me, he said, nobody does this. You know, this is not the right way to go about cooking. And I said, it's the way I was taught to cook. And I said, really, it's job security. Nobody else really wants my job in the summertime. You know, so I'm just going to keep it.
Then you started your YouTube channel and that's like the complete opposite, right? Because it was just you and your wife filming, no camera, or, you know, no crew, no lighting. Yeah. You guys were just doing it on your own.
Which, by the way, you two are really good together.
Yeah.
You have such a chemistry. It is so sweet
it's
to
so
watch
cute.
The two of you. I'm watching your proposal story. I was just, I could feel it.
I've been blessed more than I ever deserved. You know, I had an old man tell me one time in a branding pen when I was about 12 years old, he said, you're going to get a good horse in your life, maybe two. You might get two good dogs, but he said, you'll sure be lucky to get one good wife.
That's awesome.
I've had all those things. I wake up and I tell the Lord every morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for letting me wake up besides a beautiful woman. The dogs don't bite, the firewood's dry, and I ain't burnt the biscuits yet, you know, so it's all good.
Kent, while we have you today, since you are our cowboy cook expert, can we throw a couple like myths at you and you can tell us if they're a myth or legit?
If they're not hard to spell, I can answer them, ma'am.
First, cowboys lived on beans and jerky out on the trail. Is that a myth or is that real?
You know, back then there was a lot of talk about that. And all the old cooks that I visited with, for breakfast, there was biscuits, beans, and coffee. For supper, a lot of times it was biscuits, beans, and coffee. But there was a lot of dried meat or salted meat, you know, whether it be really jerky or maybe it was just dried rabbit, you know, dried elk, dried deer. But yeah, they was a lot in a lot of pockets back then.
In the movie Blazing Saddle, the scene where they're all sitting around the campfire eating beans, Has that ever happened to you?
Well, you're going to be shocked. I didn't watch that movie, you know? But I've heard so many people comment on it, you know. And I will tell you this, at a chuck wagon, there is an etiquette and there is a code of honor that you live by. It's been handed down since the 1870s. You never ask a cook what's for supper or breakfast or dinner. You never come under the fly of the wagon, which is a tarp, unless you've asked to come in there. And if you was to have gas under the tarp, you would get beat with a piece of firewood. You know, so
it's flammable, Tori. There could be accidents out there.
Oh, that's so good.
We actually have a little clip from Mythbusters I think we would like to show you about a cowboy myth that we did involving Tori. Let's see if you've ever heard of this one. The myth is that if you are dragged by a horse fast enough, your Levi's will catch fire. Have you heard this myth before?
No. I mean, if you're dragging him through fire, he might catch on fire pretty quick.
We didn't test that one. That would have been...
I'm thinking if you get drugged fast enough in your Levi's, soon the Levi's are going to be gone, and then the skin's going to be gone. But I don't know if you're going to catch on fire.
Okay, so crazy... Tori is our crazy stuntman, and he was the one that was nominated to be dragged behind a horse. I don't know if it was volunteer or nominated.
Nominated.
Tori's the only one that's going to do this trick. This is Tori being dragged by a horse. He is wearing a helmet, thank goodness.
As Tori is pulled across the ground, he realizes that being a movie stuntman is not as glamorous as he once
thought. Minor concussion.
Oh, hit a patch of dung there.
Would you ever do that, Kent? Would you get dragged behind a horse just so you could find out if your Levi's caught on fire?
Not on purpose. No. I've seen a lot of bad wrecks, being a cowboy and being around ranches so much of my life, you know, and it's not a pretty sight when somebody does get hung up to a rope or something like that. But thankful there's always usually somebody there that's got a rope that can rope a runaway horse or, you know, do something to fix it. But I tip my hat to you, brother, for being gullible enough to try that.
To be gullible. I like the diplomatic word, gullible. You mean stupid.
No, I would never call anybody that, you know. Now, if you'd have had a box of matches in your pocket, you know, and you run over the right rock at the right time, it might have happened.
That might have worked.
We did try stuff in his pockets with black powder. It didn't generate enough heat to catch on fire. We really, really, really tried. We do have a couple more myths that we did not test. For instance, is it a myth or is it not that sourdough starters were kept alive in a cook's boot for the warmth on the trail?
A cook would put it wherever he needed it to keep it warm. The Alaskan trappers wore it in a leather sort of sack fit right against their body.
Uh-huh.
I've known old cooks tell me they would slip it in their long johns at night to keep it warm. And a lot of people would put it in a boot and then just stuff more socks on top of it. You know,
now
I wonder, did that bread taste like nasty toes the next day?
Foot cheese.
Yeah. I mean, they do say that the sourdough, it takes whatever from the environment the same way like scotch does. So you're at the ocean, it's going to taste different and have like a marine to it than if you're someplace, you know, in the middle of the country where there's no water. So, I mean, it's possible it could taste like toes.
Confirmed.
That's right.
Confirmed. I love it.
Is it true that the flavor from a new cast iron versus like a really well-seasoned cast iron, it tastes different?
You'll get a metallic taste. It's not as bad as it used to be. Everybody wants to pre-season their cast iron now at the factory. Where you get it, it'll have some type of seasoning on it. But for years when you were only buying raw cast iron that had never been seasoned, and somebody would say, hey, yeah, come over to the house, I'm going to cook you something, you know, and they'd fry bacon in there, and you'd think, well, this hog is different, you know. He listened to a metallic rock band most of his life because I taste a little bit of pork and a whole lot of iron. You know, so that is true, but it's not so much of a problem now because there is so much cast iron that is pre-seasoned.
Yeah, I like to go get a cast. If you're going to buy a cast iron, like, I don't think you need to get a new. I think you can go to a thrift store and generally refurbish something. As long as it doesn't have a crack in it, they're good to go.
What's for dinner tonight? What are you cooking for you guys tonight?
for tonight, well, since Shan's gone, it'll be probably a piece of beef jerky, and that's about it. But
taking the night off, I see.
Yeah. You know, we cook so much. We film usually 2 to 3 times a week for us. And then the new series, we're already filming the 3rd season for the new series on the Outdoor Channel. So there's a lot of cooking. We don't eat it much. You know, I give it to the neighbors, the post office, everybody in the world. But we try to cook something for us. I'll be steak, or it'll be chicken, or it'll be pork, but cook enough of it like on a Monday to where we can have a steak and a salad, or a pork and a salad, or something like that, especially this time of year when it's warming up. But I do love a fried bologna sandwich and a truck stop burrito, so that could be on the menu too.
Truck style burrito is like, yeah, that's high on my list. That is definitely awesome. That's comfort food.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been such a pleasure to talk with you and learn from you, and you're a true inspiration.
More than cowboy cooking tips, you gave us some cowboy wisdom. You really are a poet. Thank you so much.
Well, thank y'all. I appreciate you each and every one, and hope you have a blessed day.
One thing I don't think people really know to do often enough is to replace your old pillows. When they start getting broke down and like not supportive, also just think about the amount of like skin flake and dirt that ends up in those pillows. Like, they need to be replaced. You can't just have a pillow for your entire life. I like the luxury of clean, new, awesome pillows. Bull & Branch has signature organic cotton sheets, pillows and blankets, and comforters. Everything your bed needs, all designed to work together. Let's face it, the amount of time that we spend in bed is like half our life. Why not add some really, really good luxury? Treat yourself. Bull & Branch has incredibly breathable and soft bedding with temperature regulation, so you're not overheating or tossing and turning. They're made from ultra clean organic materials, free from harsh chemicals and gentle on the skin. Sleep cooler this summer with Bull & Branch during their annual summer event. For a limited time, get 20% off site-wide at bowlandbranch.com/mythfits with code MYTHFITS. That's Bowl & Branch, bowlandbranch.com/mythfits. Code MYTHFITS to take 20% off. Exclusions apply.
I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
MythFits. I gotta say, this is what I love most about this platform, Tori, is that you never know if we're going to be talking about cars, cowboys, AI. It could be anything. And today it was a little unexpected, because we weren't just talking to somebody who was, you know, a chef or a cook. Like, he's a poet. He was a really beautiful storyteller and had such a wonderful way of explaining things with like every adorable saying. Okay, adorable is the wrong word. That sounds dismissive. But like, I love all of those
cowboy,
old country
sayings. No cowboy ever wants to be called adorable, Carrie.
I know. It's the wrong word. It's just, yeah. I just really love all of the sayings. Like, it's just.
No, he's so inspirational. Like, and if you guys haven't seen his channel on YouTube, go check it out. It's like, it's so educational. It's so entertaining. And he's like funny effortlessly. Like, he does stuff that he says, it just cracks me up. But the food that he creates, the concepts that he comes up with, like, he's got these deep fried deviled eggs that we've done, and they're like, you
what?
Like deviled eggs? This is going to blow your mind. And
I didn't see that. You can fry a deviled egg?
Yes. So you go through his videos, but having him on, it was so inspiring. And I'm like, it was such a, so nice to meet him because I'm such a fan, but go check out his channel because the videos are just, they're so good.
I mean, I think people love him because he isn't reality. He is authenticity. He's real. Like, that is just his life.
You can go check him out at Cowboy Kent Rollins on YouTube and I believe on Instagram. He's pretty easy to find.
Yeah, you know, I have a question. How is he not 5,000 pounds? Because everything that they cook, it's like, all right, we're going to start with an inch of bacon grease. And then we're going to throw in some flour and then some canned milk. And then we're going to add some butter. And then we're going to pour it all over a deep fried piece of red meat. Like, how is
he? I'd be 300 pounds.
I could not eat like that every day.
But when I asked him what he was going to have for dinner tonight, he said beef jerky. So it's like on his days off, he doesn't eat very much.
Yeah, you know, I dated a chef for a little while, and at first I thought, oh, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to be eating gourmet food all the time. It's like, no, my job is to cook every single day.
I don't want to cook for you when I'm off.
I don't want to make a bunch of food at home. I'm like, okay, if you date a massage therapist, you're not going to get a bunch of massages. If you date a cook, you're not going to get a bunch of great food. Okay, this is helping me weed some people out.
It was interesting to hear him talk about cooking at altitude because you never really think about that, how when you're at altitude, principles don't apply. They change a little bit.
No, I'm dating somebody who lives in the mountains. So I think about altitude cooking all the time.
Who's that, Bigfoot?
Yes, I am dating Bigfoot. And I have the hardest time cooking up there. Like, just, I have timing down in my head. Like, okay, if you're going to poach an egg, it's precisely 3.5 minutes. Not at altitude. Nothing cooks the same. Nothing rises
nothing
the same.
Cooks the same.
No, it's hard. Like, let's just go out to dinner. It's gonna be way easier.
Let somebody else do it.
Yeah, and they'll do the dishes.
This was so fun. Oh my God, I'm so glad we got him on. Do we have a fan question for today?
Today's fan question is from Clara. Carrie and Tori, what's one cooking or food hack you actually use in real life that you'd stake your reputation on, and which ones have you tried that were complete garbage? You know, there's a whole bunch of one for boiling water. Like, do you ever put a little bit of olive oil around the top rim of the pot so it doesn't boil over?
No.
And there's the one where you can stick the spoon on top of it so it doesn't boil over?
Yeah, no, I just get a big pot and don't fill it up with too much water so it doesn't boil over. That's
so
my
do you
hack.
Have any cooking hacks that, like, you'd stake your life on?
I do have a cooking hack, which is, it's a game changer. I got the hack from a YouTuber called Not Another Cooking Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes, for like, if you're making batter, if you want it really crispy, what you do is, instead of water, you use vodka, because the alcohol has less water in it, and so it flashes off quicker and gets the batter way crispier when you deep fry it. So we did fish and chips, and we tried this technique because there's so much moisture, you know, because of, if you're making the batter with water, there's a lot of moisture and it never gets like super crispy. But with the vodka, it's like, that's all we do now. Whenever we're making batter, if we're deep frying, you know, chicken or fish, vodka batter, it's a game changer.
You know what? I actually saw that trick on our guest today, Instagram. He was making apple pies and he was putting vodka in the crust, and he said the same thing. Like, I've never used that before, and I just saw that post today. So I'm going to add that to my repertoire. I'm going to go try that out.
Another thing you can use vodka for. Great question. Thank you so much. Is there any hacks that you never use? Like you're just like, you tried it and it's like, this is worthless. I'll never try this again.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ones that I just think are gratuitous. Like I know there's one where to get the shell off of an egg, you know, you stick it in a jar of water and you shake it up and it's supposed to take all of the peel off of it. But I found that to be dirtier, messier, and more of a pain in the butt than actually just peeling a boiled egg. There's definitely here and there I'll hear about something like, oh, I'm going to try that. I'm like, nah, this is stupid. There's so many myths around onions, like put it in the freezer for 20 minutes first. I'm like, when am I don't ever think to prepare the onion before I cut it. It's like, they say put olive oil on the blade. They say put a piece of bread in your mouth. Wear goggles. Like there's 100 different ways to cut an onion.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on a Monday. Carrie, this was fun. I love
it. This is always fun.
This Western theme. I love it.
I know. And usually we are ones that like ourselves a little cosplay. We should have showed up with hats. I think next time we show up with cowboy hats. And hey there, MythFits, if you just can't get enough and you want to hear a little bit more, if you go to MythFitsPodcast.com, you can get the extended episodes so you can hear even more MythFits.
All the stuff. All of it.
Thank you, guys. Stay weird. Keep cooking.
Pioneer.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.